Blog Talk Radio.
There's a wall that has been standing since the day that Adam fell. Sin is where it starts, sin is why it fell. Speaking as a prisoner who was there and lived to tell, I remember how it felt. I could hear the sound of freedom like a distant voice of call, and beckoned me to follow where I had never gone. Though my heart was willing, I just stood there at the wall, praying somehow it would fall. But in a crowd I found the doorway, and the hand that held the key. When the chains fell at my feet, for the first time I could see.
This is how it feels to be free. This is what it means to know that I am delivered.
I'm reminded of the prison I was in, like a living nightmare.
Amen. God bless you. Join us here at Harvest Moon Church and Harvest Moon Studios here in the city of Dallas. We're about ready to get started here in just a moment.
But I
know you're going to have to use the kind of here just a little bit. Now, this particular series that we're going to be going into will be a 3-day series, but we're going to throw an extra day in there. We're going to have the man of God, Pastor Oscar Walker, out of Houston, Texas, going to come in and kind of clean up the house. You know, it's not that we have to clean up anything, but he's going to come in and bring some revelation to what we've been talking about. We're going to be in this particular area called the Naysayers. Once again, for those who are going to be calling to the show on this afternoon, remember the area code 516-387-1220. Thank you guys for joining us here at Harvest Internet Church and Harvest New Life Studios here in the city of Dallas.
Somewhere there in the prison, where the chains still bind, yeah, but for a break of silence, the world will still be crying.
So for all the gathering I say, this is how it feels to be free. This is what it means to know that I am delivered. This is how it feels to be free.
It's the best of God to join us here at Harvest and Light Church and Harvest and Light Studios. We got to go into one of our new series tonight. It's going to be called The Naysayers. And it's going to be running through probably a few days. We got 3 days actually set on schedule to run, but we're going to actually run an extra day on this because of some of the literature we're going to be dealing with, and we have to push it along as best that we can to get more understanding to you all. that you'll get a good grasp of what we're talking about in terms of the naysayers. Now, I want to thank God for Apostle Oscar Walker. Now, he's going to be coming in the area of March the 3rd, I believe. We got that set up for him. But the series is going to actually run through the end of March. As starting tonight, we're going to open up and say, as we pop off the relay in the name of Jesus. I'm going to be starting off this thing tonight, and we're going to hear what the Word of God has to say. Just kind of setting some foundation of what's going on. So most of as I'm beginning to speak to you, give you some announcements. We're going to wait till our international team comes in. But I want to tell you about a few powerful ministries around the area of here in the city of Dallas. I want to tell you about Rain and International Ministry. I mean, most of you are here, this man of God. Come across some of your radio stations on Monday. He has an evening service out there at Rain International Service out there at 3001. It's going to be Irving Boulevard out there in the city of Irving, Texas. Dr. J.C. Matthews, a very powerful man of God. I'm telling you, he's an ex-lawyer. I'm going to say he's an ex-lawyer. He's a lawyer for the kingdom now. But he does a great work out there at the kingdom of God. For those of you who want to contact him, there's a number we have to contact. It's going to be area code 1-877. That's going to be 377. That's going to be 3446. Let me say that once again. That's going to be 877-377-3446. I want to make sure we get that right for his actually information to call him. You want to go to reigninginternational.org. He's got a powerful training Bible regiment that's going on out there, Reigning Bible Study. And it takes place 7 o'clock every Monday afternoon. It's midweek service at 7 o'clock. Such a powerful word. Now, this is good about his service. And for those who can't make it out physically, he's gave an address. Matter of fact, a number that you can call into. And if you guys want to, if you can take this down, I'll give it to you once again at the end of the service. But it's going to be a 712-432-3066. And that's going to be a 311-1428 access code that you got to get in. Going to continue to give these some of this information out to you guys as our international team go ahead and get prepared to come in and get ourselves going on this afternoon. Such a powerful word, and we believe that's coming out of the kingdom of God. In the midst of this very word, God speaks a lot of relevancy to what we see that's going on sometime in our modern life or just in our physical, physical and modern, in our everyday life. And it kind of deals with just the naysayers, you know, people who just kind of contradict that when you're speaking something that's correctly or speaking something right, you know, we want to try to pretty much just come in and just kind of bombard it and overrule it, knowing that we know that it's right, but we're kind of rebellious. We call them scoffers. I hear my mother say we call them scoffers, those who just kind of reject the word of God. Don't really want to hear, but know that it's right. But they don't want to, you know, kind of to the beatings to what it's going to talk about. We're going to get into that just a little bit here. As we get ourselves going, I thank God for my beautiful wife, co-pastor Patty. I keep saying co-pastor. She's up, and I am the apostle of this house. And I want to thank her for her shows. It's actually on display right now for those who are going to be listening to her on every Monday at 10:30. And every Tuesday at 10:30 is kind of a tag team type thing. You'll hear me in there sometimes, and then sometimes you won't hear me in there. But during the majority of the time, you hear this woman that got taken over the realm. She's been going through some very powerful training here at Harvest Life Church, especially under me, myself, and some of the other great men of God who actually mentored me in the work we're doing. She's got a very powerful anointing on her life, and I'm quite sure all of who come to the kingdom of God and does the work got a unique kind of gift, as God says, but it's all done through the same spirit as it talks about in the book of 1 Corinthians, that 12th chapter, by the manifestation. It's not that she tried to put herself exalt or try to put myself exalt among anyone or anybody, it's just that God does a great work in the season that he's in. And we thank God for that work he has going on in our life at this time in the season which we're in. As I said before, we're going to be talking about that particular area of scripture. And we're going to be looking over in the book of Matthew, chapter 10. And we're not going to be able to fulfill mostly all of the scripture in terms of what we're saying, in terms of all of the verses. We're going to get into the bulk of the word. And we're going to be dealing just with the increments of what it means to say naysayer. For those who call into the studio tonight, can call in area code 516-387-1220. And those of you who want to come in by internet, you want to go to blogtalkradio.com, and you want to go to your search bar and you want to put in Charles Ellis. Now, if you go to Blog Talk Radio, you can't quite get me pulled up, and you should, just go to the area on that search area that says live, and you'll see this very logo saying the Power of the Harvest Broadcasting. And we're talking about the naysayers on tonight. Want to actually get into prayers and get them going here on this afternoon. Hear what the Word of God has to say that's coming from the kingdom of God. Father God, we bless you. We thank you. We honor you. As we prepare ourselves to receive what you have given us during the course of this series on tonight, Father God, give us revelation, insight, and information according to the Spirit that we will guide and go in terms of what you called us to be and say. Let us be the very mouthpiece that we are in the season which we in, that we bring forth the illumination, the transformation, and the power, and that all you have given us to be what you designed us to be. Father God, to uphold this word on tonight, that me and myself, as I come forth, Father God, make me a conduit for the kingdom, make me an instrument to be able to do what you called me to do in the season that we're in. I want to move right into the word here. We've got a few minutes here. We're going to go forth, as I said before, the lineup tonight. I'm going to be actually kind of kicking this thing off and getting ready to move forward. And this is going to be really just a strictly teaching that's coming strictly for me on this afternoon as I run my first leg on this particular area of scripture, this particular relay, as we actually call it, this naysayers actually series. And then on this coming Thursday, for those who hadn't seen the flyer, you want to take a good look at the flyer. It's going to run through actually Tuesday through Friday, this coming Thursday. Rather than having what we call the Word, we're going to have the man of God continuing on with the series, Elder Kerry Williams, out of Saginaw, Michigan. And we're going to hope to hear, hopefully, if things roll properly, Apostle Oscar Walker. If not, we got another actually individual coming in. And I'm saying that the apostle was gonna be with us, but because of some things that's complicated and is going on around him right now, we got word that, you know, for those who know and have heard Apostle Walker, we talked about it on last week, that he had lost his mother, who was 96 years old, and he's handed some of the estates, but he did say he will probably be able to make it in, or he will make it in, and count him in on the third. But also we got Bishop Jones that got possibly coming in and stepping in. So we always want to keep you some handyman by. I'm not saying the one that we got in position is not able, but we're going to believe that God is always supplying the work that he's doing in the season in which we're in. We're in a great season. We're working in a great power. I believe the word of God is more powerful in the earth now than ever before because of what we see that's going on with some of the what we call the naysayers. We're going to get into this. We're going to hear what the word of God is speaking to us on this particular morning. We're going to be up, this afternoon. I'm not doing a morning show also, so I'm kind of get confused on that. But we're going to be working out of several different editions of the Bible, mostly the classic. We're going to talk about some of the Revised Standard, talking about some of the Catholic editions, and we just want to put information here. We're going to be dealing with the New International as well as the King James Version. But let's get started on this very particular teaching of the night, dealing with the naysayers. We look in the Word of the Book of Matthew. If you go to the Book of Matthew and you look at some of the areas of Scripture, I call it the Voice Bible, one of the Bibles I'm going to be looking out of. And Jesus begins to talk about the process of the naysayers around that particular area of Scripture in the 17th verse. If you look at it in the International or in the Amplified Bible, you look at around that 16th verse, Jesus began to talk about the process of those who naysayers, meaning who naysayers, those who are actually coming against the Word of God. You know, the Bible said how he'll send us out as sheep among wolves and serpents, but we got to be innocent and harmless, and we got to be guiltless. And they continue to move forth, and it's just easily as those. We can't continue to kick up and cause a lot of disturbance. But over in the book of the Bible, over in the book of the Word of God, over in Matthew chapter 10, I want to get myself together here. I'm looking at so many notes here. I want to make sure we get everything primed here and move in the right direction. But first, I want to let you know that in this particular chapter 10, there's five extraordinary stories that come out of this particular Bible, this particular verse of the Bible, and talks about the 12 apostles. So we look at that in the first half of chapter 10, and then we look at probably the mission of the 12, and Jesus began to send them out with instructions and tell them to begin to move forward with the power that he's given them in the season that they're in, just like he does with us. And it goes on to the third particular part of this particular chapter, and he talks about the coming of the persecution for us as men and women, God, as we go out around that 16th verse. As we go out in the midst of wolves, there's going to be attacks that come against us, the naysayers, those people who said we hadn't got the ability to do the work. We talk about that.
in the area. The word of God says in verse 17, beware of them that will hand you over to the council, and they will flog you in the synagogues. Now, that word beware is kind of like the same thing with coming out of the book of Luke chapter 9, how God gave him authority, he gave him power, but he told him beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, those who actually come with the hypocrisy. And so we're going to deal with that. We're going to talk about that a little bit more. We've got an interesting service that's going to be coming up here. I want you guys to stay tuned. But on the actual fourth run of this particular chapter, chapter 10 in the book of Matthew, it goes on and talks about whom we fear. You know, and just kind of breezing through what we're going to be actually dealing with as the series begins to start, and some of the things that you hear the man of God that's going to be speaking on and speaking about during the course of the time of this particular series. We're going to actually mandate and stick to the very word. I like to do that as a pastor, and when I'm dealing with young pastors, I don't like to stray off course. We have a lot of that sometimes. In the process of the body of Christ, we say one thing, we're way over in left field. We're not even supposed to be over there, so I like to stick to the facts. As the old story said, and you know, just the facts, Mac, just the facts. Old story of a dragnet, just the facts. And we go up to the fifth party process of this particular chapter. It deals with the Jesus declared that he don't come to bring peace, but he comes to bring a sword. And in that fifth area, well, that was the fourth, but in the fifth area, this particular scripture, in this particular verse, this chapter, it talks about the reward of those who have come to you, and they whoever comes, and that one who sent me. Jesus talks about when you look at New International Version of that 40th verse in chapter 10. He said, "Whosoever come, whoever comes, you're welcome. Whoever's welcome, you come, and whoever welcomes me, welcomes the one who sent me." Now that takes us back over to the book of John, chapter 14, which we don't have a lot of time to get into that because we got so much is in this particular chapter, and God is talking about a lot of things to his son, Jesus Christ, but how he's training these disciples, and even as Jesus gives us the information, and how we should be trained. The baby disobeyed the naysayers. When God calls us to do the work, it really means that when he said that he that began a great work in you, he performs it complete until the day of Jesus Christ. As we look at the very open summary, we're over in the, if you guys got your Bibles and some of you got different Bibles, I'm going to be looking at this from the Voice Bible, going to operate from the Amplified, Revised, Covenant, and King James Version. We're going to be all over some of the Bibles here today, dealing with different areas, because we want to get full understanding and knowledge about what the Word of God is saying, dealing with this area of the naysayers. I think that's a very strong word, you know, naysayer. When you're just talking about just the basis of what is a naysayer, you know, some of the definitions of a naysayer, one who denies, refuses, one who opposes, you know, who's skeptical or critical. We talk about that all the time. And about something or somebody, you know, they're always a naysayer. They're always coming against. They always have something to say about what you say. They can never be satisfied with hearing what the Word of God has to say at the stir the nest, and try to find their way the way they want to say it, you know, and it's really all meaning the same thing, but sometimes we have that. I can get to that with my little daughter sometimes. Well, Daddy, you didn't say it like that. You said you're going to say it like this. Well, look, you know what I'm saying. Go do what you have to do. Go sit out, you know, get at her so we understand the naysayers can come in a positive way, can come in a negative way. With my daughter, it's a positive way because that's my daughter, and we talk about a lot of things, and I just kind of keep her corrected in the way she should be. So that's really just something that's in the household with me and her and my wife, as we continue to keep her lined up in the way she should be as being a young woman of God and seeing her dad do the work of the kingdom. The Word of God says over in the book of Matthew chapter 10, and we're going to look at the Voice Bible. For those who have gateway.com or whatever Bible you're going to be used, got various scriptures, I want to go to the Voice Bible. I'm going to look at the Voice Bible. And for those who just have Bible set in front of them, maybe come by telephone, we're going to teach you tonight in the best way that we know how through the Spirit, as he continues to guide us and give us relevancy in terms of what we're going to be speaking on this afternoon. Matthew gives a summary of what Jesus is doing by teaching. He's actually teaching and preaching healing, the things that God has called us to do. Go out to all the world and proclaim the gospel. And he begins to teach about the summary. Matthew talks about the summary of the teaching, the preaching, the healing, and why he done this particular work and how he did it with compassion. The word calls that along the point of time that he's doing this work and having compassion, Jesus calls his disciples, and he calls them to the point of the ministry, not to just follow him and listen to sermons, but he's calling them now to be representatives of what he's doing. and to be careful, as he says over in the book of Luke chapter 9. He talks about the process of how he's given them the power to go out and do all these things according to healing. As we take our Bibles, and just when I want to get store a bunch, I like to throw a bunch of junk in there when I'm just naysayers, etc. I like to give you pretty much fact and information about the word of God says. We just look at that summary part when Jesus begins to go out and tells the disciples how they should amend themselves and doing the same type of work that he's called to do. And now he's given them authority to do the same type of work. Before we actually go on to chapter 10, we want to get some very basis. I like to build an argument. I like to build a solid foundation of what we're speaking about here. The word of God declares and decrees over in the particular Luke chapter 9. The word of God says that together in he talked about together they came the 12 disciples. And this is Luke chapter 9, verse 1. He said, he called the disciples together and he gave them power. Notice what he's saying here. He gave them power over, and authority over devils and over over devils and all unclean unspirits. Now let me read it in the King James verse, because most of y'all know you got the King James. You'll have the versatile equipment that I have that just to vary these scriptures of just can kind of tell through them. But the word of God says in Luke chapter 9, he said, he called his 12 disciples, and he gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God, and he said, and to heal the sick. And he said to them, take nothing with you during the course of this journey, no stripes, no straps, neither bread nor the money, neither you have any two coats apiece. Now Jesus began to speak a word to them that everything you need is just what I've given you. Because now he talks about how he has summoned them. He's really summoned them to do the work of the God, the power of the kingdom. We look over in the book of Luke, and we look at that 12th chapter. The word of God says, meanwhile, he told them the same token, dealing with verse 9 about the meanwhile. He said, innumerable a multitude of people gathered together, so they trampled upon one another. And Jesus said to the disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees because of the hypocrisy, for there is nothing covered that will be revealed, and that is hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have spoken in the dark will be heard in the light. And what you have spoken in the ear or the inner ear in the rooms will be proclaimed on the housetop. Now, let me bring it to light on that very aspect of just going back to chapter 10 and dealing with this particular area of scripture. When we look at verse 10, look at the voice Bible, Jesus said he called his 12 disciples together. And now the Bible said he endowed them with authority. He endowed them with authority to heal sickness and disease, to drive out demons of those who are possessed. Now, when we think about the word of God, we look at this from pinpoint. If you want to just kind of just put a star on that and just hold it right there in the scriptures, we go on down here. We begin to look at just the process of the voice Bible. It gives a long illustration about verse 1. It talks about a lot of good principles in here and how we are, before we go out and call to do the work, as it says in Matthew 28, we must understand that we got to be under strict teaching. And under that strict teaching, there's going to be a lot of things that are going to come at us and make us feel opposite or make us feel like we're opposite of what God has already declared and decreed us to be. Now, the word of God says about the process, when we look over here in Matthew 10, once again, Jesus called his 12 disciples together. He endowed them with power and authority to heal sickness and disease and to drive out demons and those who were possessed. And the word of God says in the voice Bibles I read over here, he says, upon this point, the disciples have been following Jesus around, listening to him and watching him teach. But as he began to listen to him and watch them teach, the word of God said, now he's given them the ability to do what he's called him to do. In other words, what he's showing them, he's going to give them the ability to do the same thing. As we read over in the voice Bible, I want to make it kind of clear to you, not kind of just going through it, want to make sure you understand this, is that upon the point the disciples had been mostly following Jesus. They had just been following Jesus around, listening and learning. This is why it's so important. This is why it's so important, ladies and gentlemen, that when you're actually doing ministry, you're not just saying what you want to say and how you want to feel. You actually want to hear what the Word of God has to say. The Word of God says, and you can take it for your notes, and you can look at it. It says in the book of Mark 4:24, it tells you about be careful what you hear. Now, it says over here in the book of the Voice Bible, and over in the second verse, going to his first verse, he said at that point, the disciples have been mostly following Jesus around. They were just listening to him. And Jesus, as Jesus was teaching, they was watching. the healing and all these things taking place. But Jesus called them together, and he really called them. He not just really appointed them to be disciples. He called them to be what they call ministers, missionary, not missionaries, but ministers. And that's a word that is used. I want to make sure we're going to actually get that into you guys, and I'm going to get a proper pronunciation and spelling on that. And the word is spelled like a missionaries. It's called e-missionaries, and that's really a person who's actually appointed to be a special mission in the process of a diplomat, more or less an ambassador. In other words, what he was doing with them, he was giving them the power to do what he's doing. He endowed them with the ability that even though they begin to watch, they have been given the same power and purpose to do the work. Now, this says it kind of like, and where we are right now, it makes it seem like that now what's about to take place is that now Jesus is like throwing them out there, but he's not. He hadn't thrown them out there. If you go back in the verse of the voice and you see what Jesus said, they was watching. And not only was they watching, before they was watching, Jesus said, after they was watching, before you get to the end of verse 2, he said he gave them a power. He gave them a power. He gave them the power to heal sickness and diseases, and he gave them a power that's trampled on every kind of sickness and everyone that's possessed with any kind of demonic force in them. And the word of God goes on and declares and decrees over here. We look over here in the process of just thinking about this, what the word of God is saying here in the actual amplified version, that in the first verse, he summoned them. Now, this came out of the actually voice Bible, because the voice Bible, verse 1 gives you a long entirety of a breakdown of just what took place in that particular first verse. But it goes over in the big amplified version. It breaks down it makes it a little clearer. It makes it a little petite, and it breaks it a little bit more precise. Yet the word of God says in the book of Matthew chapter 10, as I get myself together here, look at a lot of notes I got in front of me, but it said he summoned them, he summoned the 12 disciples, and he gave them power and authority. He gave them power and authority over unclean spirits to drive out and to cure all kinds of sickness and all kinds of wickedness and infirmities. Now, these things are in us as we continue to go forth and try to do the work of the kingdom of God. But now the disciples are coming under the leadership of Jesus Christ, and they know that it's done, how to do this work, because now they've been summoned to have the same powers on Christ as on them. Now, look at the second verse in the back, amplified verse. Now, these are the names of the 12 disciples. He talks about the process of disciples, Andrew, James, Zebedee, John. And we want to get on through that part, talk about all of them, the Alphas, Bartholomew, Nathaniel, Matthew, the tax collector, James, the son of Alphas, Thaddeus, Judas, and then, you know, Judas Iscariot. You know, talk about Iscariot and who at that point in time will be in a position of portraying Christ. And how many people know that when you're actually doing a powerful work of God, you're going to always have somebody that's in the position to portray you. You may not know it at that time, but it's always going to be what's called a spy in the camp. You know, you talk to 12 men about something, somebody's mouth can't stay closed. It's always got a leak somewhere, so we know that Iscariot was the leaker. But at the same time, Jesus proved the point that what the vision God has given him to pass on to his disciples to do the work, it didn't matter whether he leaked out or whether he was coming against. It was soon, his demise was going to soon be opened up about what he was trying to do against the kingdom of God. The Bible said the kingdom of God suffers violence, but violence is taken by force. Jesus is here on earth to do the work of which the Father sent him to do. It wasn't him. He was called to do the work of the one who sent him, according to John 14. We go over here in the area of the Amplified Version, talking about the naysayers. We're talking about all these things we're going to have to know as we go out as being sheep among wolves, the Gentiles, the people who are actually out there despising and plotting against us, have been man or woman of God who's bringing a righteous word that's coming from the kingdom of God. I was talking to a gentleman earlier today. I talked to him a little bit. I said, you know what? We got to do a little bit something on our actually radio stations, because one of the radio stations has lost some of the percentage of followers. And it kind of concerned me because I keep up with the ratings of what's going on and how people really need to find out what's happening. But whenever you're doing a great work, you got over 3,000 followers, there's always going to be somebody in there that's going to try to creep in unaware. You know, God will reveal these things to you during the course of time that you're doing your ministry and whatever you've done. God will show you the leak. Remember what the word of God says, that, you know, he said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. There's going to be people that's in your group, that's going to be around you, that's going to cause leaks to come in your ministry. But God said, woe to those who come against the work of God. You got to be understanding that, realize that in the season that you're in, there are going to be hypocrites among you. There are going to be people who look at you because of the things that God has called you to do, and it's going to be the jealousy in your heart that's going to drive them to be able to come against you. But God has got his hands on your work. When the word of God says no weapon formed against you shall prosper, he means that. The word of God declares and decrees, and he speaks over in the book of Matthew chapter 10, and he goes to the fifth verse, and then look at the fifth verse in the Amplified Version. Jesus sent out those 12, charging them to go nowhere among the Gentiles. Notice what he's saying. This was a kind of controversy to me for a while, but I began to think about it. He said, go nowhere. He said, go not in the way. Well, what about said, don't go in the way of the Pharisees? But in the Amplified Version, he said, he sent them out, the 12, he charged them. Now he's giving them a word. Go nowhere among the Gentiles. Don't even go near the Gentiles. And do not go anywhere. Do not go to any town of the Samaritans. Now this is different because it's a Jewish culture. These things are going on back then. We know the word of God says that Jesus was only called to the lost sheep of Israel. We know the word of God came from the woman of God. It says, does the bread not fall from the tables? Does the bread that falls from the tables not fall to the dogs, Samaritans? And these particular Gentiles are considered dogs back in the day. All of this that I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, is going to be a great significant part of dealing with why you got to be aware of the naysayers. All through the particular scriptures, Jesus is dealing and teaching them about as they produce and go forth in their ministry, there's always going to be somebody out there to say something negative or bad about the work you're doing, especially when it's anointed work. You know, you got so many problems right now. You got people who, Bishop Jones said, when they quit saying I, learn how to come together, it says in Psalms 133. Now that we come together, then one, the Bible says, can't we all dwell together? Can't we all be as one? How good is a man to dwell together in unity? But Jesus gives them the very warning here. Don't go over to the Gentiles. Don't go over to the Samaritans. But he said in the sixth verse, but rather go to the lost sheep of Israel. Now we know how that anointed being to come forth and warn the woman of God about that what God has given us now in Romans. He cuts a place for us as being Gentiles, and everybody's now got the right to the tree of life. Because the word of God declares, according to John 10:10, he came. The Bible said the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but he said, I came to give you life and have it more abundantly. Everybody's got the opportunity now to receive the ingratiation of the power of the Holy Spirit. But let's go on in chapter 10, and let's look at the sixth verse. But rather go to the lost sheep of Israel, of the house of Israel. Now, we're in the Amplified Version. And he says to them, preach and say, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, we know that there are things that are going on in the earth right now that it will be a great falling away. We know this already. All this that Pastor Ellis is telling you now is all dealing with to get you to understand there's going to be some naysayers coming. There are going to be people who are going to depart from the faith. But I'm telling you, you got to hold on in the midst of all these things that's going on around you. That even in this particular verse, we'll talk about how they will drag you before the synagogue. They will scorn you. They will flog you. And they will try to get you to give up on what God has called you to do. But you can't revert on the word. You got to stand still in the midst of adversity. In the very eighth verse, he said, the power that he's given them in the Amplified Version is to cure the sick, to raise the dead, to cleanse the leper, to drive out the demons freely. He said, without pay, and you have received freely without charge. Give is what he's saying. Give. Give what? Give back that was been given unto you as being a man, a woman of God, that you may go out without charge and give to those who are in lost positions that may receive what you have. Now he talks about in the ninth verse, he talks about take no copper, talks to take no silver, talk neither copper, any money, any purse, any belt. Do not take any provision or any perversion or provision bag or wallet or any collection bag on your journey, nor two undergarments, nor sandals, nor staff. For the workman is deserved of support of his living, of his food. Now this is this. Let's read that again. Let's look at that real close. And do not take no provisions, bags, nor wallets, nor collection bags, nor on your journey, nor two undergarments, nor sandals, nor a staff. For the workman deserves his support, his living, his food, his food. Now, it kind of talks in broken English right there. In the Amplified Version, he deserves for his support, his living, his food. In other words, the workman is deserved for what comes into him. The Bible says, "Don't muzzle the ox that treadeth the corn." I believe God makes provision for those who go out and do the work. Now, it sounds like I'm just going through some things, but all this I'm telling you is going to have a lot to do with what we're going to come against as being what we call naysayers. People who are going to look at you and tell you what God didn't say, God can tell how you're going to do, what you're going to do, yada da, whoop de doo, all around. They're going to say all these things to make you feel other than what God has prepared and called you to do. Now, let's look at this again. And it says over here in the 5th and 11th verse, and he says that, now, when I look, I'm kind of coinciding some things. So I want to make sure we get information because I'm flowing here. I got to check my notes and what the Holy Spirit gave me to go with this. And he said, into the whoever town or village you go, he said, inquire. Let's look at this. Whatever, see, this is what kind of got me a little bit. He said, don't go the way of the Gentiles or the Samaritan. But he comes back again. He said, whatever town or village you go, inquire who's in it. In other words, they were supposed to search out those who were supposed to be Gentiles and those who were believers, those Samaritans. They're supposed to actually do the separation. But when you look at the relevancy and the power of this particular scripture, God has given us the principle and the power to go out through all the world and proclaim the gospel. The Bible said, whosoever will, let him come. Now that Jesus Christ is in place, everybody's got the right to receive the tree of life. But there also is going to be Pharisees. There also is going to be people that's going to deny you from requiring the word of God them. They're going to tell you they don't believe. Yeah, these things happen to me all the time when I'm out ministering the word of God. People slam their doors. People say I don't believe in God. And you know what? I feel sorry when they say that. Because now the church has caused the people to feel this way by the way they carry themselves in the house of God. When we think about the word of God, we pick up our Bibles and we go back over to the book of Luke chapter 12. And if I get my Bible here and look at Luke chapter 12, we flip over to Luke chapter 12. The very thing he's told them in Luke chapter 12 was the very thing that deals with in the church right now. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Beware of the hypocrites, the people of hypocrisy. You know, there's a lot of things that we see that's going on in the house of God that doesn't line up to what the work God has called us to be or called us to do. But in the midst of us going forth, we're not supposed to deny or stray away from the faith. We're supposed to stay in there and do the work of God that he's called us to do. He goes over in the 12th verse. He says in the 12th verse, and you unto the house, he said, give your greetings and wash and give your greetings and wish it well. In other words, we come in the house, we bless the house. We make sure that we come in the house, we're going to be accepted because you don't want to go anywhere. And this has happened to me a lot of times. I'm still dealing with the process about naysayers. And this all is in the category of dealing with naysayers. There are people that invite you into their homes. And as you go into their homes, begin to minister the word of God, then they have no other desire but come in to try to ridicule you or try to fight you about what the word of God says. And all you're doing is coming in with peace. And what they're going to do is try to rid you to say something. I remember one time, and you know, just a short story. I went to a house and I was ministering, and these people were Muslims, and I didn't have anything to say about it. They offered me to come in and begin to talk to me about the word of God. They talked about the word of God, and then they could tell me some things that didn't agree with what I believe and trust in. And I said, okay, well, that's fine. You know, I just wanted to make my presence known. And the guy said that you guys out here preaching hypocritical language. I said, yeah, well, you could be doing the same thing. You know, here we are in the argument talking about who's right and who's wrong. I just want to befriend you and say, hey, how you doing? Let's put all this stuff aside. If that's something you believe and you want to believe that, then so be it. I had to go ahead and leave out the house because I was in the middle of a war zone when I got in there. And I don't know what was happening because I know there are people who come and try to persecute Christians in some way that make them feel denounced from their faith or denounced from their calling. So I left out of that house and kind of do what the word of God said. I shook the dust from my feet and I went on and began to actually go ahead and continue to minister the word on that particular day. And this happens in the modern church and the modern people today. There are people who will come to you and they will be with you when things are going all wrong in their life. When things are all tore up, and things are all messed up, they'll come to you and they'll want your prayers. But we're not to deny them prayers. We're to give them prayers, pray for them that God have a success in their life, that God has successful in the walk and what they're walking in, the things they're called to do, and that he have mercy on them. They'll come to learn and understand that God's got a plan for their life. Now, I'm saying once again, the reason I'm continuing to reiterate through this, I'm still talking about naysayers. Events and things that will happen in your life will discourage you to try to pull you back from what God has declared and called you to do. There are people who look at you and tell you you're not called to do the work or we don't believe in the work and they'll get you in the middle of what we call a brigade or around a certain group of people, and they'll begin to talk about you and say things about you to make you feel inferior. What God has called you to do, they call the police on you. There's a lot of things that happen when you're walking as a disciple, as being a man of God. The word of God says in the 13th verse, indeed, that the house is deserving. Now, go back to the 12th verse. Now, all this I'm talking about is dealing with naysayers. All these are things that Jesus is telling the disciples, watch out for these traps. These things that people call you into to get you discouraged, that make you go opposite of what I declared you to be. As you go into the house, give your greetings, as it says in the Amplified version, in which the house well. He said, if indeed the house is deserving, let's come into your peace. Let it come into your peace, that it's a freedom from all distress that are experienced as results of sin. Now, there's a lot of things that's going on in some of these houses we walk into. As being men of God, we go out and evangelize. The word of God said, but if there is nothing, if it is not deserving, let your peace return unto you. Look, don't go in there causing penetration of strife against somebody and something they believe. Your job is to pray and let the Holy Spirit do the work. You're to tell them right, but you never get in a brawling conversation with people, especially when I teach about evangelism and I teach evangelism teams. You don't get out there and you brawl and you don't box with people about the word of God. The Bible says if you're coming in and the peace resides, sometimes you can come in and the peace resides, you get in there, they have to switch up on you. Well, I thought the word of God said, show me in the word. Show me in the Bible. Show me what it says. Show me what you're talking about. I mean, it's better for you to show me than I can explain to you, but you telling me what you heard, because, you know, what they told me. Well, who is they? A lot of times you hear people say, they said. Well, I ain't never seen they. Who is they? Tell me what you're talking about, and maybe we can take it to a point we can get it understood. It's not that I'm trying to dehumanize anybody. I'm trying to help you to understand that this is the work that God has called us to do, and everybody's going to be deserving of the work, and everybody's going to receive the work. So as you go into these particular houses, you're going to get naysayers. You're going to get people that's going to come against you. But we take the word of God, we bounce back over to the very voice Bible. For those who got your scriptures, can move back and forth with me. Let's go over to the 13th verse. If the house is indeed trustworthy, let your blessings of peace rest upon it. And if not, keep your blessings. Keep your blessings to yourself. Don't go out and waste your wind and energy on somebody else. You probably go out down the street and save somebody else. Not four or five people, and you waste this time coming up in here, you know, breathing with this person, breath fighting with this person about a word that's in the scripture, and they don't even know where it is, and they can't show you, but yet they've been augmented to what God is, because they got anger in them, and sometimes you got to pray for them, say, hey, well, can I pray for you, you know, and they'll try to discourage you. You know, I hear people say, you need to get out of the neighborhood, you need to say, you don't know what you're talking about. Hey, well, show me in the word what you're talking about. And maybe we can discuss it and come to some kind of agreement about how we can find out and we can most satisfy each other. These things happen as the disciples goes out. These things are going to happen as we go out. There's always all these arguments that he's telling them about is going to happen. The peace is going to the house. Let it reside. If it don't, then take it back with you. Don't get into conflict, because there are always going to be naysayers going to say things about what you're designed to do. They're always going to oppose your word. There are always going to be people who look down on you, what you're doing, especially doing for the kingdom of God. I mean, I got into a heavy discussion, which I know I'm supposed to get into, that it's like the guy went in the back room and rehearsed the discussion, and he was waiting on me to come. And he began to blot out this and that and how he got against Christians and religion. I said, well, you know, yeah, that's your – I ain't coming for all that. I came to tell you about the word of God and what it says. You got a Bible? No, I don't got no Bible. I don't need – well, why are you offering into your house? I couldn't talk to him that way because I don't know what he had up in there. I mean, not you offering to come in and sit down and – you know, I begin to drink the glass of water, then I put the glass of water down. I mean, maybe it's not worthy of me to drink. Maybe it's something in it. And so I begin to say, God bless you. I just want to tell you about the word of God. And on the way out the door, he began to mark and talk bad about you so-called Christians and slam the door behind me. And I said, wow. And that could have discouraged me right then and there. Because, see, he was a naysayer. He was a person who was trying to impute negativity or harm into what God has called me to do. He was trying to make me give up and feel bad by trying to damage my day as I go out and was evangelizing the word of God. But he says over here once again in verse 14, if we get down there closer to where we talk about the naysayers, Jesus says over here in the voice word, the word of God says right there, if someone is in hospital, inhospitable, in hospitality, we say if they're not really hospital to you, they're not being you know, inhospitable to you, pitiable to you. You know, don't stay up in there. Don't let people rudely treat you. If they refuse to listen to your testimony, leave their house. Leave their house or their town sick and shake the dust from your feet. Because, see, this same verse, we look at verse 14, this is another area of the Word of God where the enemy is trying to get you to fall into the diversity. He's trying to get you, he's trying to build up an argument, a complaint against you. But when you come in the door with peace and then you treat it, you know, with negativity in that house, or they've been inhospitable to you, then, you know, why do you want to go inside? But I'm telling you, there's some people who will bait you in. They get you to come in and they have no fact of what they're talking about. They're going to try to chisel you and drill you with the Word of God. And know you inside, they confound. The Word of God tells us when you got your hand in the line of your mouth, you got to know how to ease it out. You know, you got to be able to get up out of that place and walk away and say, man, God, what happened right there? But all of that is designed to discourage you in your walk with Christ. Don't get into debative conversations with people. If you know your word, you know what God is telling you is right, there are people that through the Holy Spirit, God's going to lead you to. And in the midst of him leading you to people, he's going to show you there are some people who really opposes of what you're doing. And it says in verse 15, he says, this is the truth. Sodom and Gomorrah, those of ancient pits, of been inhospitable, you know, will fare better judgment in the days in the towns that ignore tomorrow or the next week. In other words, you got a chance to hear the word of God now. Okay, that's a Gomorrah coming. That's a now when I say Gomorrah, I want you to really listen to what I'm saying about this Gomorrah part. He uses Gomorrah as a city of judgment, a city of just dishonor. That's negative. They didn't want to hear anything. God couldn't find a person in that city that was righteous if he put his life on it. He told Abraham, man, look, get out of that place because I'm about to destroy it. Because that name of that city has come up before me. There's people that God has put you in their life. And when you begin to speak the word of God to them, they will not hear you. They will not conversate with you. They will not try to hear nothing you have to say. The first thing we'll try to do is try to find a better way to try to put you down to make you feel other than what God declared you to be. The word of God says in that particular area of scripture that the very calamity or the very problem that will come up on the life for them not heeding the word of God, but in such a way that you won't have to worry about trying to go back and say anything negative to them. God is going to deal with them because the word of God says, if they hear my voice, hearken not your heart. Gomorrah didn't hear God from all these sins that they was doing. So God had to deal with them. Even it goes in our life. If a man of God comes and gives me the word and is warning me before destruction, my job is at least take heed to it. Some people just stonewall the word. They don't even want to hear what you have to say. They're going to slam the door in your face, and they're going to go about their own business. But I'm telling you, it's going to be a time in their life where God will bring that word back to their remembrance. Remember that man of God that came to your house and tried to get you to lead, to be right with Christ? Now something that's ended your body, something happened to your finances, something went wrong with you, your marriage, something's gone wrong. And God got a way of bringing that word back to you all over again. That's the Gomorrah that will hit you. The Bible says it's not as real that any man will perish, but everyone will come to life. God will put a hold on you to the point you'll come to understand and realize that he's sending these men of God out, not for their pleasure, but to warn you about the uncommon destruction that's about to take place in your life. And then here you are being a naysayer, and you want to try to put them down. And that next week that come up on your life could be the end of your life, or it'd be something that hit you that'll make you think about what you've done. And I'm telling you, man or woman, God, some people, and it's crazy when you say this, some people rather to face death and walk right into death straight ahead and saying they love the Lord and know good and well they owe you an apology. They need to say they're sorry about some things, you know, that happened in your life or they said to you, but they rather say, well, I'm just going to pray for them. The Bible says you got to all with your brothers and you need to go to talk to them face to face. You need to look them in the eye. Now we got what we call the distraction devices. They want to text you. Or they want to call you on some kind of infrastructure, email you, because some of them are too cowardly to stand up and go walk into your face and talk to you like a woman or talk to you like a man. So they want to email you. They want to hide behind their phones and things. But the Word of God says, when you begin to cut down and put down one of these little ones, you had just been put them out. You came against me. And I'm telling you, man, it's a reprimand against that. We can read that in the book of Chronicles when they came against Jehoshaphat. And I use that area of scripture all the time because it's so relevant to when something comes against you to the point that you can't control it and it begins to bombard you and you know you can't handle this great mass of events that's coming at you. You got to be able to know how to lean on the Lord. But it also goes in the same way with the disbeliever. the time you're going through the struggle, you're praying and praying and praying, and because of the hardness of your heart, God will send a prophet or somebody away to tell you what you need to get right in your life. And the first thing you do because of the anger, the stuff you're going through, you'll turn that prophet, that pastor away. You'll call him a liar. You'll scorn him. You'll throw him out your door. And the word says, oh, here come your Gomorrah. Here come your Sodom. Because, baby, you're going to reap what you sow. Everything that's in the dark is going to come to light. Everything whispered that you whisper behind the back of that particular person that came in and tried to save you from the very exile that you was about to go into your life, God said, I'm going to bring it to your remembrance. The word of God speaks over here in verse 16 in the Voice Bible. And I'm reading out of the Voice Bible. Some of y'all might be lost in this, but I'm telling you, it's a good Bible to read. It's a very explanatory Bible. It's very great for what we're talking about right now. I think Apostle Oscar Walker is going to be kind of dealing with this. He teaches me a lot in the ministry in terms of things that I have to do in terms of being who I am in the man, as being a man of God. And I'm also learning from other ministers and people who are actually doing the kingdom of work in the kingdom of God. But he says in verse 16, he said, listen, I am sending you out to be sheep. Now, this is the thing about it. When you're a disciple, or you're going to be an ambassador, you're being an apostle, whatever part of the kingdom of work you're doing, you got to know how to humble yourself. There are people going to come against you. Well, I ain't called to be no doormat. The Bible said, I'll fight your battles. Now, it's a different story. Somebody try to put their hands on you, you got to defend yourself. But that lip stuff, look, let that stuff go. God can fight your battles way better than you can. Let those people talk and let them say what they want to say. Your job is to be submissive to Christ, humble to the word of God, and move forward. Well, I got to pray on that. I got to still work on that. That's okay. That's okay. He know how to humble you. No, he know how to humble you. There's a whole lot of things that's going on out here in the world to the point that God really know how to humble you to get you to call you to do the work he called you to do. He said, I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves. You must be shrewd as a serpent. Listen to how he's saying, with the word, not with your mouth, and talking about folk and putting folk down. You must be shrewd as a serpent and innocent as a dove. You must be careful. You must be discerning. You must be on guard. Goes back to the word of God we talked about earlier, but when I begin to teach. Y'all, you see, I ain't going off tonight. I'm just teaching y'all tonight. The word of God say, be careful what you hear, Mark 4 and 24. And he says in Luke 8 and 18, he say, tell you, look, be careful how you hear. Be careful. That when you go out and you learn something from somebody who's instructed you to do something, that you don't go out and repeat it the wrong way. It's just like a man who goes in the huddle and they're doing a course of a football game, a basketball game, they get information from the actual coach and how they need to run a play, how they need to do. And then you go out there with your heart here, stuff, and you do it the way you want to do it. Because you know why? You got this get-back spirit in you. And I'm telling you, you begin to go out, and you begin to minister the word, you begin to be a evangelist for the kingdom of God, you got to let God lead you with discernment. You got to be careful. You got to be on guard. You got to know where you're going. You can't just run up on everything and pass out a flyer here. And plan. I know we want to save everybody in the world, but we can't do that. God got specific people lined up for specific folk to go to. You just go to the ones he told you to go to. If it's burning in your heart to give a person a flight or talking about the word of God, then do it. If they turn your way, then shake the dust. Keep on moving. God will give you somebody through the discerning spirit. You'll be sitting right up in the line sometimes, get ready to check out your grocery store, and people are breathing down the back of your neck. You can't even turn around and offer them to come to church. They may take it and throw it away, but good. If they throw it away on the ground, guess what? Somebody's going to pick it up, and they'll heed to it. But your job is to go to do the word. Wherever you go, in the supermarkets, wherever you out, you walking among people every day. This is what the word of God tells me about a lifeguard and how a lifeguard is designed to save everybody from drowning. It doesn't matter what color they are, what religion they are. It doesn't matter. If you throw a lifeline out to somebody, which is the word of God, and teach them about the kingdom of God, if they don't grab hold to it and want to be saved, that ain't your problem. You did what you're supposed to do. If they reject it and throw your lifeguard back to you, throw it to somebody else. There's a lot of people who want to be saved from drowning. A lot of people just want to commit suicide and drown in their own. I mean, spiritual suicide, I'm talking about, not physically. They don't want to be saved. And so God got to send that particular type of person to them to help them to come out of whatever the calamity that they're in. The Bible said you must be careful. You must be discerning. You must be on your guard. And he said there will be men who will try to hand you over to the town councils. He's coming knocking on my door complaining to serve in the neighborhood. I had that a lot of times. I love going out and evangelizing. I love evangelizing across the internet. I love evangelizing when I see people in the store. Sometimes my wife can't get me to shut up when I talk to people because the Holy Spirit is upon me. I'm like Jeremiah. It's like fire set up in my bones. But when you begin to go to selective people that you feel that it might be a good candidate or might be a good fit for your ministry, that ain't of your choosing. It's of God's choosing. And if God sends you to a purple person, a red person, an orange person, I don't care who it is. You will be obedient to the very instruction God has given you. And that's what he was telling the disciples. I'm summoning you to go out. I'm summoning you to go out and avoid the naysayers. The spirit, the Antichrist can be a naysayer in your ear. The Bible said, be careful what you hear, be careful how you hear. We just said that. But sometimes the devil can be a naysayer in your ear. Don't go over there. They don't look like they'll love the Lord anyway. Who are you to say what God's people like and dislike? If you're an evangelist and you're called to do the work of evangelism or raise evangelists in your church, and it's bad to me, ladies and gentlemen. It really feels, it hurts me in my heart that I went to a major church down here in the city of Plano. And I've talked to the administration staff of the evangelism team, and I'm telling you, man and woman of God, they have talked about how they didn't allow prejudice in their church, and how they're really trying to get among a lot of the Afro-American, Hispanic community people. They're trying to bring them to a coalition. But I'm telling you, man of God, they turned the faucet off like a handle. They talked a good talk, but when they came down to perform, they shut it off. They turned it off. And that's, I'm telling you, this goes on in a lot of places today. People get comfortable with the multitude of people that's coming in, and they don't feel like they need to continue to keep evangelizing. And not only just evangelize, to speak the word of God to everybody that's walking. Everybody's made in the image of God. They got a naysaying spirit. They choose who they want to choose. If the person don't look like their color, they won't go to them. I don't care if you're white, black, blue, brown, or orange. My job is to be a lifeguard. If you're drowning, then I'm going to throw you a lifeguard. If you throw it back, then it ain't on me. I know what I'm supposed to do. Because why? Because verse 17 in the voice Bible said, I must be careful. Careful how? To pray before I go out. Don't be selective in my discerning, but be selective in the discerning of the Holy Spirit. That he'll guide me to the people that he's going to guide me to. Yeah, I want to save the world. Sometime when I was young, I just want to give out flyers to everybody. My wife said, tell me I'd be going somewhere 8 hours a day. Sometime I would get out in the community, I'd pass out 2,000 flyers a day by myself because I'm still in good shape. I love walking. I love communicating with people. This is what I'm designed to do. But I'm telling you, man, the woman of God, the word of God tells us that he sent them boys out of here with power and authority. But with that power and authority, they had to follow directions. And with those directions, you look from verse 1 in the Voice Bible, whatever one you're reading from, down to 17th verse, he said, you must be careful. When you go out and be doing the work of the kingdom of God, you got to be careful to listen what the Holy Spirit is telling you and what he's telling you to go. The Bible said first to Judea, then Samaria, then the uttermost parts. If you can't evangelize in your own neighborhood, maybe God didn't send you out of your own neighborhood. Maybe send you across the street. But how are you going to say to God, the people, you can't go to the person next door and offer them a flyer to come to your church? And they stay right next door to you. And you see them every day. One day the hearse going to pull up in their yard. And one day you're going to feel sad, but you could have kept on continuing to knock on their door and get them a word of God. I'm telling you, look, the naysayer, you may run across somebody as evil as a devil, but your job as being a man of God, a woman of God, is keep on offering that word. If they turn you away seven times, let me say, if they come to you and they slap you, if the brother strike you, then you come back, look, forgive them. Keep seven times. Keep forgiving. Give them an opportunity. One day they're going to say, yeah. One day going to be delivered from that alcoholism. One day going to be delivered from that meanness. One day they're going to be delivered from that. But if you don't keep knocking on their door, and I ain't talking about just physically knocking on their door, give them an offer. Man, you want to come to church today? You know, I'll go to church. Well, okay, why don't you come and visit me one day? One day. Okay, go ahead. That's fine. But you got to keep on being persistent in the work that God is calling you to do. The word of God speaks in verse 18, and I'm going to shut it off here because I know I'm getting ready to get out of here because I know I got a lot of people on this line. But I'm telling you, I can't give out a lot of conversation there because I got to get out of here because we're running a series. And in this particular series, that there's other people that's going to be talking about this particular scripture on this Thursday and Friday. So I got the leeway for souls who I know that's going to have something to say. I don't really, at this time, I don't want to bring my guest speakers in on this. That's going to be in the show. I see them in the studio. But I got to offer the people and that's going to be actually have questions and answers about this. But I'm going to go through this 18th verse here just a minute. He said, because of the naysayers. This is in the Voice Bible. All this you see me read from verse 1 to down to 18, he said, because of the naysayers and the doubters will try to make you an example out of you, trying you before the rulers. The word of God said you've been given authority and given power. The Bible said, according to verse 17, you got to be discerning, on guard. You got to know and understand that in the midst where God is sending you, God will maneuver you through the shadows of what seems to be the valley of the death. Because I'm telling you, these naysayers, if you go out there without a spiritual walk, a spiritual discernment, know which way you're going, those naysayers are going to get you. Naysayers, doubters, people who don't believe in anything that you're doing in terms of the kingdom of God. They got their own gods they serve. They believe they are their own gods. Like you said over in the book of, what is it, in the book of Romans? Look in the book of Romans. If you go in the book of Romans, you've seen the book of Romans. For those who have their Bibles, we just said before, go over the book of Romans. As you get there, you see how Paul began to come against them people and tell them people about them as being the lost sheep of Israel. And how he desired that they might be saved. He makes a very strong statement to them. But Paul was talking to them as they were naysayers. They were naysayers. Why? Because they didn't believe. The word of God said that, brethren, my heart desires of Israel that they might be saved. For God, look what he said, for I bear record, for I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to the knowledge. The Bible said, for them being ignorant of God's righteousness. What is the righteousness of God? Then you receive the word of God from those who are giving you the opportunity to be saved from the very tragedies in your life or the tragedies about to come. The word of God said that he gave them they had a zeal for God, but not according to the knowledge. People who talk good about the God, but they don't want to. This is what I'm saying. Listen to me. People talk a real good game. They talk real good. That's why you hear the word of God say people rather see a sermon than hear a sermon, because people can talk all day. The word of God says in Romans 10:3, for they have been ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, having not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. Some people go through life financially stable. Some people go through life of not having a health issue. Some people go through life never having a need for any kind of anything. But they don't have a relationship with Christ. They believe their stability, their staying is their own business. I'm financially stable. I got money. I see God every now and then for him to help me and strengthen me. They don't have anything. They can have all the world around them, but they'll lose their soul. That's why the word of God said, what is a man that gain the world and lose his soul? The naysayers, those who have a form of godliness but denying the power of God, they don't want to be saved. They got their own God. Until you come be strong in who you are and teach them about the word of God and show them about the word of God and don't be denied by their education on what they feel is right in their own eyesight, but be able to deliver the word to them in such a way that will help them come out of that rebellious way. Some people got knockoff. I call them, they got knockoff beliefs. They got the things that they believe from an ancestral point of view. I ain't got to go to church as long as I'm successful, as long as I can read, I'm going to write, go to college, we'll be doing all that. But see, that's the thing what God said, because I don't see in the Bible what the disciples even talk about going to University of Miami, University of Michigan, Central Michigan, University of Texas. I don't see it. They was all discerning the words by the Holy Spirit. And God said he took them disciples and he called them, he sent them out. He said, I'm sending you out, you know, and I'm giving you authority, I'm giving you power. I'm giving you everything you need. But you got to be careful what it says in the Voice Bible in verse 18. But the naysayers, people will come against you and they'll say so many negative things against you to make you feel opposite of what God declared you to be. This is how it is. And you got to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And you got to believe in the midst of where you're going, God has got a plan that supersedes far beyond more than you can imagine or think of. I'm going to save a few minutes here. I'm going to open up a call here just a second. And my wife is always on the line. I want to give her a chance to come in. And, you know, but all the rest of y'all know that while we do our series teaching, the first time you've been on series teaching with us, you know how we do it. Thank all my friends out there from the foreign nations that's in with us tonight. You know, Pastor Ellis is a little tired tonight, but I'm pushing forward. I have some things I had to do today, but I'm just a little not rested because y'all don't see me revved up like I'm usually revved up. But you got to be able to do the work of the kingdom. And I know I got my beautiful wife. She's in here somewhere. If I can find her number in here. And I know she said she's going to be in here today. And And if all those who are actually on the line and actually called into the line tonight, God bless you for being with us tonight. And I want to ask you that, you know, the number to call in is 516-387-1220. But in your immersion of calling in or coming on the line, you have to be able to push the number one button on your phone. The system cannot flag you until you push the number one. That's instruction. That's instruction. And if it's not flagged on the display, on the monitor, then that they can't let you in. You don't have anything to say. As I said, I know my wife is going to be in here tonight. I know where she is. Our numbers, among all, there's a lot of numbers in here tonight. But I want to let you know before we actually let anyone else in on the line, and we may not let anyone else in. I mean, we got a few calls on the line. She's about the only one I was going to let in that have something to say. But somewhere she's stuck in here. But I want to say something. I want you guys to join me Thursday night. I want you to hear the rest of the part of this spectacular series. It's going to be coming from Elder Kerry Williams out of Saginaw, Michigan. He's going to be running the second half of this relay. We're going to actually see what's going to be going on with Bishop Jones, Bishop Apostle Walker. During the course of this time, we're going to have them to be able to come in and speak some words that we have here at Harvest Night Church. But I do want you guys to make sure you're going to tune in on this coming Thursday. Thursday at 7 o'clock. It's going to be 8 o'clock. On the Eastern Standard Time on the East Coast, but it's going to be actually 7 o'clock here Central Standard Time. We're going to have the man of God out of Saginaw, Michigan, to run the second half of this particular relay, Elder Kerry Williams out of Saginaw, Michigan. But I'm telling you, with the host of numbers on here, I'm trying to find my wife, Pastor Patty Ellis. Her number's in there somewhere. She's got that 972 somewhere up in here. But look here, we don't have much time, but if she make it, and I missed her, then it's my apologies to her, but the system is designed, if you push the number one button on your flag, I see a lot of flags up here, but I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, this is not the night I'm trying to push you off or anything, but we really want to make sure we have time because we've been running over our time to maybe get you all in, and I know if I let one in, we're going to let everybody in, but I got to get a woman of God, the house of God a chance, but since I hadn't seen her flag, I hadn't seen her anywhere, I see a lot of the flags, but I know that's not her number. But I also want to thank the man of God, Anthony Cox, man of God I met on this afternoon, discussing the talk with me. I believe God's got some things going on with that. My good friend, Darnell Jones, who actually introduced me to him. And tonight was a kind of a pace night tonight. I mean, I just really wanted to get the basis of this out. Sometimes running the pop-off leg on a relay is always the hardest leg to run because you got to set the foundations and the mark for everything to come. Now, these men of God will probably be going back and forth through the scriptures if God give them revelation and information. It's not just what I've said. Listen to everything throughout the entirety of the show that God is going to give you more information about what's going on and how he's going to be presenting to you. But even as we go forward, we want you guys to know that, hey, look, God's always got a plan that supersedes far beyond. We've got to got the woman God, Pastor Pat Ellis. I want to tell you about her show. You hear somebody in the background. I hear somebody in the background. And that's called Marcella. But she's got a show that's going to be actually coming on for those who want to be and tune in on the show. That's going to be actually on Monday and Tuesday at 10:30 a.m. Yeah, a.m. Central Standard. That's so many shows we got going on. I tell you, sometimes you get lost. I tell my wife sometimes, if I didn't have my head, I'd lose it. But, you know, this is the work of the kingdom. And let's know this night, but we're good. We'll give her an opportunity to come on in and have what she has to say. And we're going to let her probably greet us off this afternoon as we get out of here and from what the Word of God has been. Co-Pastor.
Good evening, everyone. I just want to say that was such a good word, and because it's so relevant to today when we have the people that try to discourage you. And the last part of the scripture you were saying about how Jesus was telling him, you know, that there's going to be people that are going to try to discourage you. And as being in the ministry, even just followers of Christ, you see that. I'm sure everybody has experienced that, or maybe if you have it, you're going to. That we have to keep, we do have to shake the dust off of us and continue to put one foot in front of the other. And a lot of times we feel like the ministry is sometimes lonely, that you work and you work and you work, and you feel that people should be receptive to what you have to say because it comes from the Lord. What the Lord says, you know, just continue to keep pushing forward, keep bringing that word forward. and still be encouraged. And even if you're not being encouraged, encourage yourself. If nobody is there to encourage you, you have to continue to encourage yourself, because that's what the ministry is about. We're to bring more people into the kingdom and to encourage, because we have so many, everything that we do has an end goal in mind. And as a ministry, as your ministry, as our ministry continues to grow and to those that you are developing into more mature Christians, we have to continue just to come together, just as we're doing this evening, that this is an encouragement. When we get the Word of God, that is an encouragement. And it helps to take more steps. And even when it's a maybe a lonely step, or maybe we need some pats on our back or encouragement to continue to go forward, this is such a great way to touch many people, because we all need that every once in a while. And truly do shake the dust off your feet. You know, when you're being discouraged, just keep going. And we want to just continue to be encouragement to everybody that's out there that's listening. And not only just now, but each and every day, whoever you come in contact with, whether you're in the grocery store, at school, at work, wherever you are, just be an encourager, the Word of God, and to speak life into people so we can continue to build the kingdom of God. Amen?
Amen. Amen. You know the worst is, I give you take them sighing breaths, because I'm taking a sighing breath, because I'm really kind of the worst person you can run into in the ministry is a person who can't receive. The worstest person you can run into in any part of life, a person who won't listen. That's the worstest person you can run into. I don't care who they are, whether they're apostle, whether they're bishop, whether they're apostle, it don't matter. A person who can't take time to hear what you have to say, they can't listen. They're always going to interrupt you to the point they're not trying to train you or help you or move you forward. That's a dangerous person to be around, a person who don't have the opportunity to give you a chance to be able to speak out, and then you hear what they have to say. I heard Dr. Mike Murdoch say at one of his meetings, to be a protege, it takes a very humbling spirit. Timothy was a protege. We look back in the scripture, and we see how Jesus declared the word over these men. Now, this is in the Voice Bible, how he gave him the power to be able to go out and do the work. And you look at the summarizing of this particular part of scripture. Jesus was teaching and preaching and doing the work he's called to do. According to John 14, he came to do the work, he called him to do the work, which is his Father. And he said he had compassion on the people as he did the work. And then Jesus began to call his disciples to do the same type of ministry, not to just follow the work, but to be able to do the work of the sermon in which they saw him doing. In other words, that's why I say people rather see a sermon than hear a sermon. It's so much oratorical performance. It's so much that we let roll off our lips. The scriptures are so easily just talked. But to be able to live the life, to be summoned to do the work, and knowing that there's going to be distress, there's going to be headaches, there's going to be problems, there's going to be lows, there's going to be highs, there's going to be people that's going to like you. You see the author, this whole particular scripture, there's going to be sicknesses in the lives of people. You got to pray for them in the midst of the night. When you're tired, you got to give up. The work of the ministry is not something that you do and take for granted. It's not something that you just take on convenience. It's not something that, call me in the morning. No, it's a 24-hour business. And if you don't know how to discern it and know how to set it up properly, it will kill you. It will actually kill you. It will actually dissipate you. Because you haven't had the discernment, what God is telling you, that you can go out there and jump into stuff if you want to. And I'm telling you, man and woman, that's a whole lot of naysayers out there. And I'm telling you, they're dividing the word of God in such a way they're causing good people to fall to the wayside. So many people want to be heard about what they can do and how they can do it. But nobody want to come together collectively to hear what Word of God is saying through the Spirit. It's a bad thing. It's a bad position that we're in right now as being the body of Christ. Everybody is so divided. Everybody is so separated. Everybody's been so mischievous to one another. It really is hard for the man of God who are truly in position and doing the work. It really is a headache sometimes that you got to pray to the Lord and you got to ask the Lord. As he said over there in the verse 10 of the very Word of God in the Voice Bibles I was reading out of, and it says the same thing pretty much in the King James Version, but in a different way. He's telling us, man, we got to be careful. We got to stay on guard. You know, that's a lot of work that we have to do in the ministry. There's a lot of things that God is calling us to do. And we must get our actual walking instructions in papers from the kingdom of God. And how do we do that? In prayer. Stay on guard. Stay on guard. Stay on point, as they say. Because I'm telling you, the adversary is out there. And I'm telling you, he's trying to rip your head off. And I'm telling you, those who have never received or can hear, can understand, the Bible said, look, those are going to be ones who are going to fall aside. He says in verse 17, you must be careful. You must be discerning. This is coming together in prayer. You must be on guard. There will be men who will hand you over to the town council and have you flogged in the synagogues. That happens in your own house. In other words, you're doing. There are people who want to see you fall so bad they can see, you can see the juice fall off their mouth, just like a monster or something. I wish this. I wish that. I sent out an article today about Bishop Eddie Long, and how I was looking at the face of the people when they were talking about Eddie, and I was saying, wow, you know, most of those people that ordered wanted didn't care for him anyway. Hey, they wanted him because of some of the things that got tossed up with this allegation that was threw before him. And I heard Bishop Long say one time, if people could just come together and love one another, rather than pointing fingers trying to crush one another, we'd be better off. If people can come together and learn how to love one another and stop pointing the finger trying to crush one another and quit worrying about what's on somebody else's back door and worry about what's on yours and be loving, I believe we'd be a lot farther than what God calls to be. That's been the representative of the kingdom. We'll be representatives. How we truly supposed to walk as men, man and woman of God, according to the word of God. I'm telling you, man of God, it started off just like I needed to start it off. I wasn't fast pacing on this. I was really just letting the Lord lead me. He was just really talking to me. And I thank God. I'm telling you, I really thank God for this word tonight. And I thank God how he really used the word in such a way for those who had an ear to hear. They heard what the word of God was saying. I mean, to me, Pastor Ellison, and Pastor, man, I got to get that thing out of position. I'm telling you, my wife is in position already. You got to hear our shows. For me and the woman of God here at Harvest New Life Church and Harvest Life Studios here in the city of Dallas, man, it's a blessing. Don't forget, Thursday night, the man of God, Elder Kerry Williams, out of Saginaw, Michigan, will be running this Thursday, the second half of this leg. And I know he's going to do a great job. Till then, God bless you. God keep you. Thank you for joining us here, and we'll talk to you guys on tomorrow. It's a simple song. Tell me about the joy. Let us be.